Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. March Madness is here. The Vols are balling. Shots are falling. Shots probably being taken out at the bar as well. If you are out celebrating, if you are out enjoying the weather, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. But if you find yourself needing legal representation, or one of your loved ones or someone you know needs legal representation, Marcos Garza and his law firm are the best when it comes to beating DUIs, to getting the best result possible in your case. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 366. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch, a special, sweet victory edition of Reed's Ranch. It is Monday, March 25th. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. It's good to see you. It's good to hear you.
Great to see you. Great to hear you. Sorry if I'm not making full eye contact with you right now. The Lady Vols are making a furious comeback down 5 with like 8 minutes left. So that's where my eyes will be. But I love hearing your voice and just knowing you're there in case I want to look.
Likewise. Likewise.
It's a lot better talking to you after big wins than it is after sad losses.
Amen. I look forward to the podcast so much more.
Walk me through your Saturday night as Tennessee and Texas, and then the game progressed and it came down to the wire and all of those things.
Well, I had this like dueling, conflicting emotions where, like, from just watching the game itself, my head and heart told me that we were in control the whole time. But deep down, I just had this like nagging thing, like, okay, we're not getting it past 11. They're hovering around from 7 to 11. If they're only down 7 or 8 and they hit 1-3, then boom, it's a brand new ball game. And that was kind of my fear, was that like they would finally hit a 3 and then boom, it would be a 4 or 5 point game. And they did. They did. But on the flip side, you know, we led pretty much. I think Luke, my best friend Luke, who I watched the game with, he checked after the game. I think, like, we got the lead with like 14 minutes to go in the first half, and we never let it up. Like, Texas never led. You know, we led wire to wire. I didn't feel like we played tight. I thought Adu played horrible. I thought Zakai was unreal, just to play all 40 minutes like that, to be what he was on defense. I thought he should have had more assists than he ended up with. I thought at times Dalton forced the ball, and I thought that Josiah Jordan James was amazing. I thought that Josiah was incredible. He should have had more points because I thought he got fouled going to the rack twice. I also think he should have just shot a couple more times, but Josiah's game in totality, I thought, was amazing. Ganey and Meshack were both very good. Ganey's ability to strip the ball was awesome. But all that being said, when Santi threw the ball into Adu, all I could think about was like, I wanted to kill Santi. We had two timeouts left. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, just because the guy wasn't open at the very beginning when you got the ball doesn't mean you have to throw it into Jonas. And I just saw that Santi's entire career just it ending just in such an ugly fashion with him making such a mistake by throwing it into Jonas.
Not to correct your best friend Luke or your summary of his investigation, but we took a 4-3 lead at 16-25.
He might have said 16-25.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Your interpretation, I'm assuming, is what's incorrect here. But yeah, they jumped out 3-0. We took the lead at 4-3 at 16-25. And then we never trailed again. And it's funny you say that because I stayed pretty calm throughout the game. People around me were kind of losing it. But the moment Jonas got fouled, that's where I was like, man, we led this game the entire way. And you clearly could see a missed front end of a 1-on-1. They score. And next thing you know, you're out of the tournament. And you know, some of those careers of those most beloved Vols just come to a screeching halt all because Santi threw the ball into the wrong guy. But shout out to Big Jonas for stepping up and making two gigantic free throws.
Yeah, I didn't stand up until Jonas got fouled. And that's when I started pacing a little bit. I thought Jonas played awful. He had a really nice block. I thought he just seems to be unable to catch the ball, and he seems to get the ball stripped a lot. Part of it, I think Zakai needs to stop feeding him some of these passes because he clearly can't catch them.
Yeah, sometimes the low passes are going to be tough for the big man. Whenever he catches a pass and doesn't bring the ball down and just lays it in or dunks it, it's a thing of beauty. I'm not going to be as critical as Jonas because I thought he did some good things. They got off to a terrible start, and like, you know, Rick going straight to Awaka helped set the tone and get Tennessee a lead. But I thought Jonas hit three clutch free throws in the final 2 minutes, and I thought he made a couple really nice passes. Connect on a backdoor cut.
He did.
And another on a big Josiah reverse layup.
He is really good. If they're playing a zone, I want Josiah flashing the high post. But after that, I want Jonas flashing the high post.
Well, I think, Seth, you're going to get your wish because I think Jonas, what I think Tennessee should do, and I don't want to pose as a basketball genius or someone that's a tactician, much less a genius. Like, I'm not a coach. But, like, if it's me, I am spamming pick and rolls the entire game against Kalkbrenner, bringing him out of the paint, bringing Jonas up top, and Zakai and Kinnett can take turns just pick and rolling him to death, which means Jonas is going to be in another position of going to the rim and either needing to finish or to drop off passes to Josiah in the dunker spot there, which they've been really good at doing so far this year, and Kinnett has been good at abusing bigs, and Zakai has been good at abusing bigs. Tennessee's pick and roll has been their best play all year. So, like, I like the Creighton matchup just because of that. I'm bringing that big, goofy 7'4" fuck out, and I am making him run around all night in pick and rolls. And I hope that Barnes does that, which maybe leads to Creighton trying to go to a 2-3 zone to kind of slow that down. And, you know, hopefully Tennessee's shooting can come back, because that's what I'm fearful of, is just them zoning us up and us throwing up another clunker 15-20% shooting for the night.
Yeah, I thought I somehow in my recap I did not shout out Tobe, who pretty clearly won you the game with his 10 points in 11 minutes. He was awesome.
Please stop fouling, Tobe. Please figure it out this offseason. You came back after year one and you developed an offensive game, a reliable offensive game. Make your progression from year two to year three. Make it just eliminating the dumb fouls.
Yeah.
That's it. you can still be aggressive. I can still live with foul trouble. I just don't want the dumb fouls. The lack of focus fouls. I'm sure that drives Rick crazy. And I'm sure Rick has said the phrase to him, Toby, I just can't trust you. Multiple times this year just because he can't trust him to put him in and not foul.
Yeah.
But he was electric on Saturday. I mean,
so he got decisive.
He got the KenPom MVP in 11 minutes of foul riddled minutes. But when he was in, they had no answer for him. And you kind of thought that might be the case with Dylan Dessou not being able to check him. I liked his matchup, but he just couldn't stay out of foul trouble. And that did kind of slow Tennessee down at times.
He was so decisive. I mean, I don't even know what to say about the shooting. Like, I don't know. I did not think that they played tight. I did not think that they played uptight, that they looked nervous. I did not think that at all. They had three after three go in and out, in and out. I thought if anything, Connect forced the issue some. But, like, Zakai took really good threes that I want him to take. And I don't think they were tight at all because Josiah got that one in the corner and with zero hesitation just ripped it. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. Connect in the corner nails one. I didn't think they played tight. I hope it was just one of those games where nothing falls. They're a good shooting team. They have been all year. I mean,
the St. Peter's game, you can cling on to that. Because the offense looked good and it felt like shots were falling. So, like, if you had thrown this performance up right after the Mississippi State game, I'd feel a lot more worried. But I felt like the offense was flowing and you made some shots against St. Peter. So, like, this team hasn't forgotten how to shoot the basketball, right? That they shot 45%, 46% from three against St. Peter's. And I think they're going to get a lot of open looks against Creighton.
Yeah, now, I know what KenPom says, and I know that, like, 15 of the top 16 are in the Sweet 16, or whatever, 14 of the top 16 are in, blah, blah. I know, like, the, you know, but whatever. Like, I watched the Oregon-Creighton game, and I go by eye test, and I'm glad we are not playing Oregon, because you were right. Nafale Dante is a behemoth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to act like I knew anything about him prior to the Pac-12 championship. But I saw I needed to see in the Pac-12 championship that he was going to be a problem for our front line. And, you know, I lost some money betting on Creighton, but it's okay because now I don't have to worry about him dominating Jonas. He had 28 points and 20 rebounds against Creighton.
Like, only him and Cousinard scored in the second half, right?
Up until maybe it was like in the last 2 minutes of regulation or in overtime. I don't remember where, but somebody got a little layup or like a little floater.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, don't take what Jonas did for granted because Dante found himself in the same exact situation. They had shot zero free throws, and for some reason, Oregon gave him the ball, a 60% free throw shooter, just like Jonas, 2-point lead instead of a 1-point lead, and he bricked the first free throw of a 1-1. Creighton came down and tied it, and, of course, you know, they got blown out in double overtime, but he couldn't make the free throw. Jonas did. That's why Jonas's team is still playing.
Who are they going to put on Connect? Alexander?
I don't know Creighton's lineup enough to.
I thought that Weaver, was that his name for Texas? He did a pretty good job on Connect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Creighton didn't appear to me to have anybody that can do that. That's just, Oregon was more athletic than Creighton.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even close to me, the level of athletic.
That's why I wanted to play Creighton. Like, Texas could match up athletically with Tennessee. I don't think Creighton can.
I thought Texas could match up athletically. I didn't think they had any rim protection, which kind of makes me annoyed at the lack of Tennessee's points. But you kind of already pointed out, I feel like we maybe left 6 points off of free throws where we got clubbed driving to the lane.
Yeah. And just, I mean, Jonas should have finished some of those at the rim. I mean, yeah, like, whatever. I just, from the eye test alone of watching the Oregon-Creighton game, I kept telling Luke, I do not want to play Oregon. I don't want to play Oregon. Dante was a menace. I just saw him being a menace against UT. I didn't want to have to deal with that. They're just so athletic.
Well, we also know that this year our kryptonite has been a dominant big man. And, you know, he wasn't healthy for much of the year, but to me, he's every bit as good as any of the big men we've played outside of Edie. And, I mean, he might be as dominant as Edie if you give him more of a sample size. But, like, he's every bit as good as the guys we've struggled against. He's Tolu Smith on steroids. He's more dominant and more physical than Hunter Dickinson. And just to go down the list, like, he would have been a handful, and I think you'd have been really afraid of him. I mean, quite frankly, I also think that Dana Altman is a better tournament coach than McDermott is.
Yeah, that was the other thing, was that Altman is just nails in the NCAA tournament. He's just nails in the NCAA tournament. And, I mean, Cousinard gave out. Like, he literally, his body was giving out in that game. On the flip side, Creighton had three dudes play 50 minutes. Now, they only play six guys. So, I'm hopeful that Tennessee can wear them down. I just don't think they can keep up athletically with Tennessee. That was my takeaway. I don't either.
Tennessee's going to have to shoot some shots and make them, but, like, Tennessee should play fast and, you know, just play kind of an NBA type, you know, style of basketball that night where they're playing free-flowing and, like I said, just over and over pick and rolls. If you get stopped, if you can't get out in transition, stop, set up, either connect or Zakai, just pick and roll Cockburner to death.
Yeah, I just don't think Ashworth can stay in front of Zakai. I don't think they have anybody that can stop connect. I mean,
One of Creighton's weaknesses is offensive rebounding. So if they do go zone, Tennessee should have a big advantage there in terms of just getting extra chance points. That's something they struggle with, and that's something I feel good about Tennessee doing.
Yeah, Creighton's good. Creighton's good. You have to beat good teams to get to the Elite Eight. It would have been nice to get matched up against some Cinderella in the Elite Eight, but you didn't. You're going to get a good team, and that's just what it is. It is what it is. You have to beat two good teams to get the Final Four.
I don't know where you feel right now, but I would rather play Creighton than Gonzaga in this round.
Yeah, I was surprised when Jeff Goodman said Saturday night that Gonzaga has no chance to beat Purdue. I was very surprised by that because it seems to me that Mark Few is the best offensive coach in college basketball.
I don't know if I can go that far just because they just play six games a year, basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what they did in the second half against Kansas was as good as it gets. Kansas let go of the rope, if you will, and just completely gave up.
Yeah, Kansas let go of the rope. I was surprised by that because Gonzaga was so dominant, and I know Kansas wasn't their usual selves, but they were still a four seed, and I just was stunned by him saying Gonzaga had no chance. I mean, Graham EK down low for Gonzaga, he's not terrible.
When I've watched them, I've been somewhat impressed with him. I mean, like, I thought he was the reason that they just dominated McNeese like that. I mean, I thought he was way too big for them. Now, granted, obviously, Purdue's going to pose a bit of a different threat than McNeese did with size, but he doesn't seem like a bum out there that can't play.
Yeah, I would much rather be playing Creighton than Gonzaga. There is no doubt in my mind because I don't want to – you don't. Gonzaga looked awesome, and they have Mark Few. And, yeah, I would rather play Creighton than Greg McDermott. No, I mean, no shade to Greg McDermott. He's made, like, three Sweet 16s in the last four tournaments or whatever. But still, I think everyone would rather face him than Mark Few.
I don't really have any other takeaways about Texas. It was nice just to survive. You know, I do feel like – we almost had an exact replica of what we did in the tournament 2 years ago with Chandler, where you dominate round one, forget how to shoot in round two, and go home. Dylan Dessou just wasn't as good as Hunter Dickinson, so he couldn't be the one that sent us home.
Tyrese Hunter peaked as a freshman.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was looking at his old stats because I remember, you know, whenever he hit the portal, Tennessee was interested in him.
Everyone was.
Yeah. He seemed just like a guy out there. He was pretty solid against us down the stretch, which was annoying. But, yeah.
First half, he was atrocious.
Yeah. Second half, he got it going.
He was in hell. Our defense had him in hell. They made just – our defense – Marwan said it during the game in the game thread. The defense, Rick Barnes' defense is still somehow underrated. The defense was amazing. I mean, just the steals that they generate on these just like normal plays, it's, you know, you get 6 to 8 points a game off of it. It's incredible to me that these teams still, Zakai and Santi, are still able to get these steals.
Creighton struggles with turnovers as well. So I think the offensive rebounding, the turnovers, those are two usual stats that, like, if you're going to lose, you're going to get beat on those. And Tennessee should have a pretty good advantage on both of those. That makes me feel good. Especially because I think Tennessee's the better team.
I thought, like, I feel good about it because, you know, you talked about it last week. Rick Barnes is a lot better than he was. Now, I don't know what he's supposed to do if they're going to go out and shoot like that. But like you said, he immediately went to Awaka. I just didn't think the team played tight. I thought the whole time the team was loose. The shots just weren't going. But I will say, credit to Tennessee, they never panicked. You know, we never panicked. That entire time when nothing went down, what are you supposed to do when you're not? You just have to keep shooting it. Like, I didn't think they ever panicked. I thought they just kept coming. And they won the game, and that is, literally, that is all that matters is winning. They won the game.
Survive in advance, that's what they call it, and that's what Tennessee did. So, yeah, I never thought, like you said, that they were getting out-coached. I never thought that they were panicking. Everyone played like they should in terms of keeping their composure because Tennessee's not relying on any young guys out there. Everyone is a seasoned veteran at this point.
Yeah, and just credit to Jonas. And credit to Dalton for hitting four straight free throws. You know, those four straight free throws he hit were huge. I wanted to just, like, my eyes just rolled 180 degrees and were staring out the back of my skull when Tyrese Hunter hit that three. I was just like, I mean, come on, man. Like, oh, you know, we're about to just get the win. It's over. And he nails that three. And I'm just like, you've got to be joking with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Just on a full sprint, just stopped and popped.
Yep. But I don't really have anything else because it wasn't like, I mean, it was just an ugly game that you won. And that's all that matters. You won. You got to the Sweet 16. You got to the second weekend. It's the seventh Sweet 16 in what? The last something crazy. Last 20 years or something. I mean, you just keep getting to the Sweet 16. Eventually, you'll break through. You got to the second weekend. That was the first goal. Now it's time to break through. You have the team for it. You have Dalton Connect. They don't. You have Zakai Ziegler. They do not.
I assume you're not going to be in Detroit on Friday night.
I will not be Friday night.
Okay. I will be. I'm making the trip up. Hopefully a little better outcome than last year in New York City. I'm nervous about just going up there. It's going to be a long-ass day, 4 a.m. Like, I got to wake up and get ready for my flight at 4 a.m. And then a tip-off's at 10 or 10:15. Going to be a long day. I'm going to feel like a real dumbass if I go up there and we get beat by Creighton. But I do not think we get beat by Creighton. I believe we win. I believe we impose our will. And I think we'll feel really, really good on Friday night about our chances of advancing to the Final Four.
Yeah, I believe that we will win, too. I think we're better than Creighton. I think we're just straight up better than them. I mean, it's a nice matchup for us. We're not getting some super hot team like Gonzaga, who seems to be rounding into, like, their boss mode form here.
Yeah, or Oregon. Had Oregon won, they'd be fitting that same bill.
So, I feel really good about it. I feel really good about it.
Quite frankly, I feel good about Tennessee's chances against anybody in the country outside of UConn at this point.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, if Tennessee and UConn went for it all, you know, for the national championship, I don't go into that game terrified, thinking you have no chance. It's just, we'll worry about that when we get there. Against anyone else in the country right now, I'd feel like Tennessee would be in position to win. I don't want to say favorites. I don't think they'd be favored over Houston. They're not going to be favored over Purdue. Vegas-wise, but I'll look at it as a coin flip and that we have Dalton Connect and they don't.
Yep. Yeah. I don't really put much stock in what Purdue did against Utah State.
No, me neither. That I think that's the one thing that you could have ruled out this year was that they were going to get beat by a team like that. Like, get punked by just an undermanned, like, overmatched team.
My main takeaway from Purdue, my main takeaway about Purdue from this weekend is that they're just dorks. But we knew that already. Like, their fans fill up the stadium to watch the practice before they played the 16 seed. Like, they're just a bunch of dorks. I mean, that's my main takeaway about Purdue.
Really hope we don't play them and lose to them. That'll be tough.
Me and you both, buddy. Me and you both.
That'll be tough.
Yeah, I just don't think about losing to them again. You just can't think about it.
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon at F-B-I-T-N.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau.
Fair enough. Let's not think about it. Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch if you want to discuss the boys. A lot of content flowing. Game threads are a lot of fun. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Let's give a shout out to some new patrons. New $2 patron, Brad Overton.
Shout out to Brother Brad. We love you and appreciate you.
New $5 patron, Caleb Tyndale.
Shout out to Brother Caleb. We love you and appreciate you.
Sorry if it's Tyndall and not Tyndale. I'm not very good at names. New $5 patron, Chris Myers.
Shout out to Brother Chris. We love you and appreciate you.
All right, let's hit some questions.
Brother CB, a.k.a. Colts beat reporter, asks...
Hey, how about that Titans trade?
How about it? Best cornerback in the NFL, isn't he?
Going out and getting a shutdown corner.
Best quarterback in the NFL, isn't he?
What's happening in the Lady Vols game right now? They just banked in a three. It looked like NC State threw the ball in, but it looks like the refs are giving them a timeout after the Lady Vols had already stolen the ball, according to Kelly.
Kelly is losing her mind.
She's giving me strong Butch Jones at Missouri vibes. Like, I'm coaching for my – I'm trying to save my fucking job. You remember that?
She's about to start crying. She looks like she's about to start crying.
You remember that in 2017 when he's begging with the official about trying to keep his job?
I do not remember that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, like during the hell, what was that quarterback's name that we randomly played in 2017?
No,
I was going to say Stevens. It wasn't Will Stevens.
It was Will McBride? Something. McBride, yeah.
Was that right? McBride?
Yes, Will McBride. We lost, like, badly, didn't we?
Yeah, we got off to a decent start, and yeah, there was, like, a play where he's like, I'm trying to save my job, or I'm coaching for my job, or something like that. Oh, man, I do feel like Kelly got screwed there. Ooh, that's a late timeout. Anyways, back to CB.
He asks, what player from the Rick Barnes era would you most envision making the Kent State player mistake, intentionally fouling with 5 seconds left with a 1-point lead?
So who's our biggest dumbass? If you'd have asked me this maybe 2 weeks ago or a couple months ago, maybe DJ Burns gets the answer, but he's had a career reclamation. He has saved his career. I now view him completely different. Who is our biggest dumbass?
I don't know who I would pick here.
It's not fair. It's not fair, probably, but Lamonte came to mind.
Okay.
It's not fair. I'm not going to say that I think of him as a dumbass, but he's the one that came to mind. Maybe because he fouled in the corner against Purdue or didn't foul or whatever you want to call it.
Yurosh would do something. Yurosh is pretty.
Surely to God, he wouldn't be in the game, though. Surely to God. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you, CB.
Brother Big Orange Rano asks, which fan base is suffering more after the first round exit, Auburn or Kentucky, and which one did you enjoy watching lose more?
Great question, Rano. What is your answer, Seth? We'll start with who did you enjoy watching lose more first?
Auburn.
You enjoyed watching Auburn lose more?
Yeah. That's solely based on where I live.
Okay.
I will say my greatest regret from the first weekend, I have one regret from the first weekend, and it is that Tennessee tipped after both of those losses. So I couldn't fully bask in the glory. If I had known just how bad St. Peter's was, I would have been like on cloud nine. But in the back of my head, I'm just thinking you can't gloat too much. You still got to play. You can't gloat too much. You still got to play. Auburn choked so bad, finishing at the free throw line, 2 of 7 from the free throw line. They shot horribly down the stretch.
Now, I don't know if mentally you had switched to Texas already, but Auburn played Friday. You had a chance to...
Oh, it was Auburn Friday? Oh, Auburn was Friday. I'm thinking of Kentucky. Okay, yes.
Because I was at the baseball game in the rain on Friday, like an idiot, freezing without a rain jacket on with Tuck and CB watching the game. And, yeah, like I pulled up the Auburn game and watched them choke.
My bad. Yes, my bad. So the Kentucky game, I was just like, man, you can't gloat too much. But I enjoyed Auburn more because of where I live and the way they have acted the course of the whole season, and especially from last Sunday or 8 days ago up until Friday night. The way that they acted from the moment they won the SEC championship to Friday night, I enjoyed it more. I gloried in it. It was to see them go 2 of 7 down the stretch at the free throw line. They did the exact opposite of Tennessee. They shot horribly down the stretch.
Don't forget Katie Johnson misses with the game on the line.
The Kentucky thing was more like I was just in awe of Jack Golkey. Like some of these shots he made, what was Kentucky supposed to do?
I thought Kentucky, especially down the stretch, made a lot of clutch shots.
They made some big-time shots. Now, I thought Reed Sheppard looked terrified.
Oh, no, yeah. He was pissing down his leg, but everyone else.
Antonio Reeves and Dillingham.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, they were hitting big-time shots that you thought, okay, this is where they're going to kind of give it away. This is where Kentucky's going to come back, and nope. Their lack of defense. I mean, there was an 8-minute video breaking down their defense and just how poorly they executed defense. So, like, that. When you ask what they could have done, maybe play better defense, but
some of the shots he hit coming off the screen, I mean, were just like they were amazed. They were out of this world. So
when you see the stat that he had only attempted 10 2-pointers the entire season, though,
yeah,
you got to make sure that you're not letting him get threes off. Play behind him if you have to. Play behind his hip. And force him to pull the Trae Young stop and jump into you a couple times. Otherwise, like, just don't even entertain the idea that he's driving the basketball.
But, and we've talked about it before. I've mentioned it on the podcast. Dillingham, I had more fun watching Dillingham than anybody else in the country other than Connect. So, like, this Kentucky team didn't bother me. Shepherd and Dillingham and Reeves were really fun to watch.
I've talked about how I don't really hate Cal as well. So, like, I dislike that Auburn team more.
Yes.
Well, I will say I still enjoy laughing at Kentucky because they have the message board meltdown. So, like,
it was amazing to watch.
When you asked me who I enjoyed watching lose more, it was still Kentucky. Just because I like their meltdown more. But, like, it has to hurt so badly losing to that Yale team that just absolutely gets throttled.
Yeah.
The next game by San Diego State. Like, looks like the worst round of 32 team we've seen advance in a decade.
I saw an insane stat that in the 4 Sweet 16 San Diego State has made, they haven't beaten a single-digit seed to get to any of them.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, that Auburn loss was really inexcusable. Yale wasn't good at all.
No, Yale's trash. Yale had to have a buzzer beater against like a 6-win team to even win the Ivy League. You saw against, you know, San Diego State, they were terrible. So Auburn losing to them was by far to me the worst loss. By far. They actually had championship aspirations. Now, I will say Kentucky's bullshit all season that they pulled about how they're just built for March.
Yeah,
and the way that some media people talked about them as if they were just going to flip the switch, that was a little maddening. You know how many people called them the best team in the SEC?
Just well, because like Jeff Goodman had them in the Final Four.
Right. Just because they shot 60% in the second half against Tennessee, had an abnormally hot shooting day. Everyone's like, oh, yep, they're fixed. Here we go. Like, that was bullshit. And that wasn't going to happen.
The Kentucky loss, the Kentucky losing was equally sweet because of how their fans acted after they lost, after they beat us and then we lost the state.
Mm-hmm.
They talked a lot of trash. They talked a lot of trash.
Before they turned around and got punked by A&M. Yeah, they were riding high. Auburn was too, so it was nice to see both of them humbled.
Yeah, it was very nice to see. But I enjoyed Auburn more.
Makes sense with you living in Alabama.
Brother Brett, very handsome, asks for both over under four. This is sad. Over under 4.5 made field goals for Santi for the rest of the tournament run.
God. It's a good number. Because these days, a good Santi game is probably 3 field goals.
Yeah.
So it's like he's going to get it done in one game. Even in a good game, he's going to be like 3 for 7.
Does he have? Do we have to get to the Final Four for him to
to go over 4.5?
To go over 4.5.
So get to the Final Four. So win 2 games, play in a third game.
Yep.
God, that's sad, but yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you pull up his game log and look at his last games, like how many games do you have to get to in his recent run to get to 5 field goals?
He made 2 threes against Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I have it off the top of my head. How many points did he have Saturday night? 2?
He didn't have a field goal on Saturday night. Oh, he had a layup. He had a layup. And he had 2 threes against St. Peter's. He had 2 threes there.
That's true.
So there. Lady Vols just lost.
Against Mississippi State.
79-72.
Against State, Santi had 1 field goal. So he's got four in his last 3 games.
That's sad. So we have to get to a championship game.
So I am you know what? I'm gonna go over though. I'm gonna say he gets to five. I'm gonna say over. Threes against St. Peter's gave me a little hope. Especially considering the first one he missed so badly.
The first one was an oh my God moment because they had talked so much about how they're going to try to get him going. And he came out and was aggressive. And that was maybe the worst 3-pointer I've ever seen from a guard. Like
Luke like groaned. And I was like, what? And he was like, Santi just missed a 3 so badly.
It was like 3 feet short.
And not even on target. It was like
It was one of those, if you would have thrown it harder, it would have banked in. That's how badly he missed it. He did the bank shot that was 4 feet short. It was brutal. And then he had the pass that hit, you know, Josiah in the back. And I was really worried about Santi, but then he hit a couple threes. You're like, okay, he bit his wrist. Here he goes. Time to get going. And nope. Against Texas, still only 1 of 4. A nice contested layup.
Yeah, nice little steal and layup. Yep. Brother Toy asks, what would make you happier? Dalton Connect scoring 35-plus in a win against Purdue, proving that he is more deserving of Player of the Year than Edie, or Santi catching fire and scoring a season high in a win? For me, it is no question it is Dalton Connect.
Run those scenarios one more time, I'm sorry.
Dalton Connect scoring 35-plus in a win against Purdue, proving that he is more deserving of the Player of the Year than Edie, or Santi catching fire and scoring a season high in a win?
Santi's season high comes against Purdue or comes against Creighton?
He doesn't say, but we'll say Purdue for the sake of Dalton Connect.
Yeah, just because obviously the answer would be like, hey, Connect, get us to the Final Four. Santi dropping 24 or so in a Elite Eight game to get us the win would be pretty emotional. But Connect doing it is just such a statement. That's a really good question. I think I'd go with Santi.
Okay.
I just think he needs it, man. Like, I really think you'd have people crying while he did it. I think you'd have people tear up and cry if he was able to have that emotional outburst. Because, you know, he'd be going crazy. Yeah. You know the team would be going crazy for him. Not going to say I've grown bored of Kinect's explosions, because that's not the case. But, you know, 35 for him would be, what, the fifth or sixth time he's done that this year?
Yeah.
It'd be a big statement. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Santee's lost in the wilderness right now, man. Yeah. And, you know, I know this isn't maybe the spirit of the question, but imagine how good you'd feel about the team if Santee did score 24 in the Elite Eight game, and how good you'd feel about your chances in the Final Four if you thought he maybe had found his shot.
Yep.
I'm going Santee. Great question.
Brother BJ, a.k.a. Pawpaw, asks, does grinding out the Texas win make you feel A, positive going into the Sweet 16, that you're able to win nasty games, or B, worry that eventually someone is going to make you pay for that type of game?
Both. Both. Not to cop out, but like, winning ugly is great, but it's the ugly part that stays in the back of your mind, because your margin for error is so small that just because you won an ugly game once doesn't mean it'll go the same way twice. And just because you had an ugly game doesn't mean you're guaranteed another one.
Yep.
I don't know. I just think both. Like, I felt good. You won ugly, but I'd never want to be in that position again.
Yeah. So for me, it's neither, because I never really worried about us being able to win a nasty game. Our coach is Rick Barnes. He's such a sociopath that he has the nerve to say to Allie LaForce after the game, I really like these types of games.
I was going to say, I'm worried that he is an addict that has fallen off the wagon. He's like, I got my taste back in those low 60 games. This is what I love. Enough of this offense bullshit. Let's grind this clock out for 25 seconds and let's roll around.
Everyone else is having a heart attack over Adu shooting threes, and like, Rick Barnes is like, it's like he's high. So I never really worry about us winning nasty games because of our coach. And I don't think that we'll shoot that poorly again, because I think we're a good shooting team.
Well, I'll say it's definitely possible we shoot that way again.
Oh, it definitely is.
I just don't think you're going to beat any of the teams left shooting that way.
For sure.
Maybe Creighton. Maybe Creighton, just if you completely cut the water off on them, which I do think that if you take Shireman out, which I think Tennessee can do. You know, I think Mayshak is going to have Shireman in hell. Then I think maybe you could beat them in the mid-60s, but I don't think you're beating anybody. Although, hell, I guess if you play Houston, maybe that would be an ugly rock fight,
too. You could score 50 and beat Houston, I think, on the right night.
Yeah, maybe. So, hell, maybe you can win a couple more that way.
Brother Marwan, a.k.a. Wheezy, asked to give your thoughts on Titans 5.5.
Yeah, that's Seth, I want your thoughts on it. That was the initial over-under put out today, Tennessee's win total. They're saying 6-11 would be a successful season.
That seems low, right?
Seems pretty gross. Yeah, I mean, 6-11 being a success. So that means if you go 5-12, like, that would be such a disgusting season, especially since they've actually spent money and got veterans. If you told me you got Calvin Ridley and Snead, and, you know, you fix the offensive line by going out and overpaying, or you're paying big money for a center, and you follow that up, you know, with drafting Joe Alt, like, that should add up to more than 5-12. Unless Will Levis just sucks. But even if he just sucks, like, Tennessee still, like, won more games than that last year. It wasn't like Tannehill was any good. You actually blew some games. I don't know if the Titans actually did go over. What, did we go 5-12 last year? Maybe we didn't actually go over that. But, like, you lost, like, 3 or 4 close games. I don't know. I'd be disgusted. It makes me mad.
New coach, new GM.
Yeah, but that sometimes, well, GM was there last year, but now he's getting the call.
So what I'm saying is, like, he's added new guys. I think that this is going to be pretty positive. Everyone's going to be excited. I think.
I think the new coach thing is a good thing. Like, I think if the Titans come out and score some points with the new and improved secondary, like, that could be a recipe for success. Not saying we're going to win the division, although I do like plus 1,100 to win the division. Take a little flyer on that. Have a little bite at that apple, but, like, 5.5 seems low. Titans are at least going 6-11. You can lock that in.
Brother Parker asks, should he go see Immaculate tonight after dinner?
No, not after dinner, especially. It's the new Sidney Sweeney horror movie. Have you seen anything about this?
I've just seen what you've posted about it.
Yes, no real big spoilers, but the concept is basically that she is essentially the new Virgin Mary, is what they're going for. She goes to this convent in Italy and gets pregnant despite never having sex.
Okay.
The convent is shady. You know that from the very first scene. So, like, you know something's up, but, like, yeah, that's the movie. It's pretty gory, though. Interesting choice for Sidney Sweeney to do. She's covered in blood a lot. She's actually trying to do a serious role, I guess, which, you know, was interesting for her. But I would say no, Parker. I would not go see that tonight. Wait for it to come out so you can stream it at home. That's my official advice.
There you go. AJ wants to know, College World Series champions or Final Four?
Just with me being in it right now, I want this Final Four.
Yeah, I agree. Final Four.
That's probably a bad answer. The answer is probably always take a championship in one of the quote-unquote major sports. But now that I'm in here right now, I want to win these next two games.
When is Tennessee going to have a guy like Dalton Kincaid again?
Yeah.
Take the Final Four.
Yeah, like if you told me, like, go to the Final Four or Tony, like, leaves Tennessee and doesn't coach here anymore, maybe I change my answer. But, like, Tony's going to win a title here during his time. I feel pretty confident about that.
This is the last run for Josiah and Santi. Zakai isn't going to have as good of a team next year.
Which means Barnes, you know, this might be his last true run at a title in a Final Four as well.
Like, there are some guys on this Tennessee team that mean a lot to a lot of people that we have gotten, like, a lot of joy from watching for years and years and years. And on top of that, you have the best player that you might ever have. He averaged over 25 a game in conference. In a good conference. Take the Final Four.
I want this baseball team to show me they can win a couple close games.
How about we sweep a team that we're a lot better than?
Yeah, and to do so, how about we don't blow a late game lead? Can we get some big outs, please, bullpen? Because right now, either we blow teams out or we lose in conference play. That's what we've done. We had 3 blowouts, 2 blown losses in a game that you just had bad luck and, you know, got beat by, what, 4-7-3 or whatever it was.
How about did you watch a lot of the game on Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. I did. I had to pull up on my phone.
Atrocious. Talk about atrocious at bats.
I thought the bats were atrocious on Sunday against Alabama, too. So, like, 2 of our losses, we've blown the lead and had bad at-bats for most of the innings. I know Tennessee scored a bunch of runs in Alabama on, you know, game 3 or whatever on Sunday, but I thought all those kind of came in 2 innings.
Yeah.
You got lucky and got, like, a ground ball double play that scored you 2 runs.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and you still couldn't take advantage of that.
For sure. I mean, they need to sweep Georgia this weekend. They really need to sweep Georgia. Georgia has probably the best hitter in the conference, maybe the best hitter in the country in Charlie Condon, but, like, they got swept by Kentucky last weekend on the road. You need to sweep Georgia. You need to go 5-1 through Ole Miss and Georgia. And you went 2-1 against Ole Miss, so you need to go 3-0 against Georgia. Sweep Georgia.
No arguments for me.
Brother Thomas would like to say that he loves us both and he's thankful for the pod today. And we're thankful for you, Brother Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Love you.
Brother Dash asks our last question. 1 more year of Kelly or personally attending 2 Ice Bears games? I would go to 2 Ice Bears games if it meant getting a baller as a head coach for women's basketball.
Do you think Danny's afraid to make this hire? Because I would imagine if I'm Danny White, this is the sport I know least about.
Yeah. But it's also the sport where it's going to be the easiest to hire a coach because people will walk on broken glass to take the job.
Well, yes, it is. But think about when things went south for Dave Hart is when he decided he was going to besmirch the Lady Vol brand. Or have we given up on that? Has that crowd of fans, have they now had it beaten out of them that it has to be a Pat Summitt disciple? Can you just go hire the best women's college basketball coach you can find, or does it have to be somebody with ties to the team?
Well, you can't. So, first of all, I don't think they have. Second of all, you cannot worry about the brigade of lesbians. You cannot worry about the brigade of lesbians who go to the games on their hogs, wearing their cut-off flannel. You cannot worry about them. These people actively root for Tennessee football to lose. They want Tennessee basketball to lose Friday night to Creighton. You cannot worry about these people. The people you have to worry about are the people like us.
Here's See, I disagree. I don't think we need to worry about... Oh, you mean Danny needs to worry about us. Okay, okay, okay.
Here's my dream. My dream... I have a dream about women's basketball. It's that I don't turn it on until the Final Four and the Lady Vols are playing in it because that's how God intended the sport to be. We created the sport. The Hall of Fame is in Knoxville and we suck ass. It makes me mad. We're good at everything except the one sport we invented. Don't worry about the lesbians. They don't want you to win at anything else. They probably, like you have this amazing softball program. It's the best in the SEC. They don't give a shit about that. All they care about is Lady Vols basketball. And you just simply cannot care. Either they're real fans or not. And listen, I have no issue. Hire a woman. I think you should hire a woman. You've always had a woman coach. I think it should remain a woman's coach. It doesn't have to be a Tennessee alum. It doesn't have to be somebody from UT. But you cannot worry about the lesbian brigade. They have held you by the throat for too long, Danny White. Now, it was stupid as hell to change the name from Lady Vols to Vols. You have a very unique ladies brand. Why on earth you ever wanted to change that is beyond me.
I will say there are probably some straight older men with money whose wife also loves the Lady Vols.
But they're not the ones you see on TV.
Well, I did watch a Lady Vols game, and I will say you're probably right for the most part. I did see Danny and his wife in the stands, though.
Today?
Yeah, I can't imagine that Danny's wife is a big Lady Vols fan. She hasn't had that, you know, indoctrinate her yet. They just haven't done any winning yet with her here.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm blocked by the Lady Vols Twitter account, okay? I dislike the sport, okay? It's by far the lesser of the three women's sports in college, volleyball and softball, and then way lower is basketball. But it's the one thing. As easy as it is for Ohio State to be good in college football, it's that easy for the Lady Vols to be good at basketball. And they suck.
Wait, why are you blocked by the Lady Vol Twitter account?
Because I made fun of them too much for losing when they had Holly Warlick.
There is a part of me that thinks Danny's probably afraid to make this hire.
I'm sure he doesn't want to mess with it. And at a normal place, he wouldn't have to. Like, at a normal place, getting a 6 seed and getting to the round of 32 in women's basketball means that you don't have to think about it for another 365 days. But he signed up for this job. The court is named after Pat Summitt. It is what it is. Like, you have to... Make the damn hire. How do you not host the first two rounds if you're the Lady Vols? That's shameful. We had to go to somebody other's court. Did you know? Kelly Harper lost to Alabama in the regular season this year. Now, I went and looked. Okay, I went to UT Sports and I went and looked. Pat Summitt from 1994 until she retired did not lose to Alabama. That was like... almost 30 years. She did not lose to Alabama. One damn time did she not lose to Alabama, and Kelly did this year. And I went and checked the stats because I saw we lost, and I was like, wait, Wait. We've never lost to Alabama in women's basketball because they've always been awful and we've always been amazing. It's one thing to lose to UConn or LSU when they had the two, you know, they had the love, they had the, you know, their coach was sleeping with their player and they were really good, Simone Augustus, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's these, you didn't even get to host the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. The Women's Basketball Hall of Fame is in Knoxville and you had to go to Raleigh, North Carolina to play an NCAA tournament game. It's pitiful, man. It's the one thing that God was like, God ensured us to be good at women's basketball. Everything else we got to work for, and we suck.
You're also patronized by North Carolina State's coach because he's such a Pat Summitt disciple, and he preaches all of her principles. And
not even to mention, North Carolina State fired our head coach. North Carolina State fired Kelly Harper because she wasn't good enough.
Yeah, they talked about that too, and the announcer said, well, Kelly acknowledges it didn't go very well here. She wouldn't argue about that. It was kind of fitting that that coach that they said she trained under at Chattanooga, their families are friends, they refuse to schedule each other because they're such good friends. It is kind of fitting that he was the one that put her down.
Damn,
ended her career.
That's like having to shoot your dog in the head.
It's exactly what it is. That's what that guy had to do to her today.
That's brutal, man. That's brutal.
They're like her and her husband and this coach, they go to Vegas together every year. They're great friends. He had to put her down.
Shit.
So you would go to two Ice Bears games?
Yeah, hell yeah, I would.
But only if it led to a good hire, you said.
I think it would be so easy to hire a good coach at that job.
You would think, but we've been striking out at it.
That's because Phil Fulmer made the laziest hire of all time. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire the point guard off the team that went undefeated to be the head coach. And that's what he did.
And people ate it up, too. All it took was seeing her pictures in her uniform. I am going to miss her, though.
Yeah, I liked her earrings today. She looked nice.
Yeah, she did it for me, respectfully. All right, I love you, buddy.
I love you, too. Go Vols. Later.
Boy.
Hey. Shooting my shot like, hey. Hit the red dot like, hey. Finger on the trigger like, hey, 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 hey. Shooting my shot like, hey. Hit the red dot like, hey. Hitting her spot like, hey, 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 hey. I gotta get it, man. Shout out, I hit it. I'm fully committed like, hey. I studied the target. I'm never gonna miss it. I call that precision like, hey. Shooting my shot like, hey. Hit the red dot like, hey. Finger on the trigger like, hey, 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 hey. Grandma was in A, auntie was in it, A. Mama had AAA. I wasn't scared to crash anyone anyway. I ride a shoddy while bro had a shoddy, like we in the getaway. I gotta penetrate, I gotta generate. I got like 20 some years to my hood, now I gotta go live away. I'm out of town, but I'm not on the getaway. I spin a giveaway. Fuck you mean, I'm the generous king for real. I fuck her to sleep, then I light up the street. Got her screaming like Billie Jean for real. I'm from the M, I got M's in the bank and M's in all my streams for real. Feeling like Phil, they be living like Carlson if I leave him in the will. Shooting my shot like, hey, hit the red dot like, hey. Finger on the trigger like, hey, 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 hey. Shooting my shot like, hey, hit the red dot like, hey. Hitting her spot like, hey, 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 hey. I gotta get it, man. Shout out, I hit it. I'm fully committed like, hey. I studied the target, I'm never gonna miss it. I call that precision like, hey, shooting my shot like, hey, hit the red dot like, hey, finger on the trigger like, hey, 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 hey. Baby, I'm loving the taste. I think I'm ready for kids. She said, when it stop trying to come in her face. That makes sense. I'm going up past LA Brent. I'm going off no fail safe switch. Yeah, me and my team go back like plastic cup boys on some tailgate shit. Okay, ho, look. All eyes on me, ho. I feel like I'm Truman. No, we finna win it, cause I'm about to lose it. I don't give a fuck what computers is putting. I go off the field, no hezzy, just shooting. I die for my team, I'm the coach, I'm recruiting. I'm spending my time and I'm saving the day, ho. I feel like I'm mutant. I'm put like a student. I'm feeling bilingual, cause I'm in Nigeria. Rocking the Cuban, smoking on Cubans. My life is a highlight reel that I keep on looping. You can't just tell me shit, ho. You gotta prove it. These niggas stealing, their first name is Lupin. I'm hitting harder than bitch. And they sending shots for some high, just juke it. Hitting my dance, motherfucker, I'm B.I.G. You know I can't forget that I do it. Shooting my shot like, hey. Hit the red dot like, hey. Finger on the trigger like, hey, 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 hey. Shooting my shot like, hey. Hit the red dot like, hey. Hitting her spot like, hey, 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 hey. I gotta get it.
man, shout out, I hit it. I'm fully committed, like, hey. Okay. I studied the target, I'm never gonna miss it. I call that precision, like, okay. Hey. Shooting my shot, like, hey. Hit the red dot, like, hey. Finger on the trigger, like, hey, hey, hey.